We're back in session. Thank you to the staff and to Holt Architects who are still working on adjustments to make this space work. And I'm told that the folks at home, our audio isn't quite calibrated perfectly for the folks at home. So bear with us, everybody. Thank you. So, Joe, sorry I interrupted.
Take it away. That's fine, and thank you for giving us this opportunity. We're going to do two things tonight. Mark Kukufka is here from Labella Architects. And Mark has a presentation that will cover two of the projects that are coming our way. The first is on your agenda tonight. It's the expansion of the Human Services Building to be able to accommodate day reporting. And so he's going to spend a little time to bring everybody up to speed on that. Now, this has been through three committees, so I think it's pretty familiar terrain for most people. So we'll go through that. And the second is not so familiar, and that's to introduce you to a concept to add bed space at the public safety building, to take space within the current building and, as they say these days, repurpose it for use as inmate housing. So he'll talk about that. Now, in between these two presentations, he'll take a breath, and this will be an opportunity for you to ask some questions about the Human Services Building and then the Public Safety Building. But that's what will be up on the screen next. When we get to the resolution itself on the Human Services Building, I'm sure I want to say a couple of things about it. Mike will, too, as committee chair. But for now, why don't we ask Mark Kukufka if he could walk us through the first element of this presentation, which is the Human Services Building proposal.
Okay, thank you very much. Mark Kukufka again from Labella Associates. So Human Services Building, I'll try to – Raul gave me advice here to use the mouse here as my pointer because of the two screens. So this is our Human Services Building. This is the east side of the building, the main entrance as you come into the building. So what we're looking at is renovation to the first floor and to an addition here in this corner to square this building off is a small one-story addition just to accommodate the day reporting program. So here's what we're proposing to do. This is the existing floor plan. So this is the east side here, the main entrance that is currently here. And then the credit union is currently in this location. And so we're asking the credit union to, they're going to be relocated. They've been informed on that. And one of the key elements of this that came out of this design versus the previous design is we were able to achieve a complete separation of the day reporting program on the west side of the building. They'll have their own separate access on the south side of the building, and then we're able to keep the Department of Social Service is in this multi-purpose conference room on the east side of the building. And so this is where this small addition is located on the east side of the building. So currently, Social Services has their offices woven into this, you know, yellow area. And so we are renovating and remodeling them and putting them partly in the addition and partly in what is currently the conference room area. This is very important with this and the success of this the design because we want to keep the clients on the first floor. And by keeping the clients on the first floor, staff utilize this staircase for efficiency to go up and down stairs between caseload and between clients to access these conference rooms and multi-purpose rooms. And therefore, by reconstructing this all on the east side, I have a complete separation between day reporting, Department of Social Services, and separation down the hall is the New York State parole office, and in the green area are probation offices. So this was one of the successes that before we had some awkward crossing between day reporting from east and west, and we've eliminated that awkwardness, but that meant a little more renovation. This is just an enlargement of the conference room because the room will be about half the size as it currently is today, It just shows two different configurations. We wanted to be, as we looked at the typical meetings that Department of Social Services has and probation has, it sounds like the typical meeting in a general seating session of about 45 people and in a classroom type setting of about 32 people that seem to cover the lion's share of the needs for Department of Social Services and probation. If it's a larger meeting than that, they'll have to go off-site. I just briefly had here, you know, and I've discussed some of these, but it integrates the program into the existing building, allows a good separation of the day reporting, including a separate entrance, good segregation between departments, maintains that key stairwell for staff efficiency. So it does require, under the cons, a small addition. I do have to reconfigure the social service base to make this happen, and we have to ask the credit union to relocate to another area. So the budget that we have here, construction costs including contingencies, is about $1.3 million. Soft costs, AE design fees, permits, building permits, bonding costs, anything like that is around $200,000. So it's around a $1.5 million project is what we're looking at, and this is a concept study phase estimate that as the project proceeds, you will get additional estimate update, and we will continue to measure ourselves against this $1.5 million budget. And then just as a reminder about the renovation side of this is about 5,300 square feet, and the addition is around 1,700 square feet, round numbers. So that was just the overview with that.
Mark, just a quick thing. Show us again with your cursor where the existing building line is.
So where the streets are.
Where the existing building line, there's your main entrance. As my mouse goes around here, the existing building line is right there.
And State Martin Luther King Street is on the left side of the drawing.
King Street is here. And then
Seneca
is here.
And the LIVC conference room?
is currently right here. So you walk in, when you walk in the lobby, come in the lobby, you come right into the Lindsay conference room right here. Is where it currently is located.
Okay, thank you. Pam?
Yeah, I was just wondering, I don't see any architectural details here, and maybe you haven't developed them yet. In terms of this addition, is this going to be a flat roof at one story?
Yeah, it'll probably be a similar roof that is currently there. There's no such thing as a flat roof anymore. They all have to be pitched to some degree per the New York State Building Code, but it is not a peaked roof. And we're going to be very sensitive to... Because it's such a small addition, we want to really mimic the details that the from the original building and make it blend in as much as possible.
Peter,
could you show me what is the new construction, the brand new construction, the addition? Where is that?
The addition is this piece right here. This is the addition, is this piece right there, 1,700 square feet addition.
Okay. And right now that is what? That's just hard?
Sidewalk. Right now that is sidewalk. Yeah. That's concrete sidewalk outside the building.
And where is the wall where does the wall of the existing building start going up the map there?
Well, my cursor comes across as my cursor is going along the wall of the existing building, the outside wall of the existing building.
Okay, thank you very much.
This door is actually the door to the credit union right now.
Right.
This door is the credit union. This is an exit door, an exit stairwell door that exists there now. This is the front door that exists here now.
Anyone else? Pat.
Could you remind me, please, of what the functions are that are up on the second floor?
The second floor and the upper floors are Department of Social Services office functions that provides the services needed for the clients, but that the building is nicely set up, that from a risk standpoint and from a user standpoint, that the clients remain on the first floor and staff are on the second and third floor.
Will?
Could you pull back the slide of the pros and cons, please?
Oops.
So one con that occurs to me that is not on your list is loss of community space. If I heard you correctly, you said that the living room would be replicated and about half the side, which would meet the needs, most of the needs for the building. What that, I think, overlooks is that that room is also used by the community at large, and we have a serious shortage of affordable or free community meeting space. This is a loss, and I just think that that should be one of the cons.
You're correct.
There may be some way to accommodate that. Perhaps we could make an investment in terms of buying time at the library conference room, which is somewhat comparable to space. But I know there's been talk.
I can respond to that right now, and again, we'll talk more when the resolution comes. I think the prevailing thought right now is that the rear part of the Human Services Annex building, which is currently the Sustainability Center, it's an 18-month commitment, might actually serve that community meeting space quite well. It's a little bit bigger, actually, than Livesey.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, you've got kind of the best of both worlds. You still have a conference space within the Human Services building to accommodate its needs.
Right.
But then you have community spaces right across the street, basically, in larger quarters. So that's not a decision that's been made, but that seems to be the way kind of prevailing opinion is leaning.
Thank you.
Jim, and then Peter, hold on. Peter, did you have your hand up? You, Peter or Pam?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I'll come to Pat after Jim.
I agree with Will that it's a loss of space for the Beverly Lucey. I think one of the things that we might do, all of us here, is move all of our committee meetings to this room, thus freeing up the Heyman room for community space. I intend to do the budget committee over there from now on, and it makes total sense to me that eliminating the ledge committees out of the Heyman room would open up some really good space for meeting.
Good idea. Thank you, Jim.
Information?
I've got Pat and then Carol.
This isn't specific to the addition, but I can't remember. Is there a lift or an elevator or anything to the upper floors of the building?
Oh, yes. The building is a modern building, fully handicap accessible building. Absolutely, yes.
Carol?
I just wanted to point of information to know how large the Heyman conference room Heyman conference room is.
I don't know the dimensions of that. I really don't know.
Okay, and the capacity of the Sustainability Center room.
Well, I think the Sustainability Center room is it 1,800 square feet? Does that sound familiar? And is Livesey 1,600 square feet? Is that bigger than it's? I recall that Sustainability Center is 200 square feet larger than Livesey. I just can't remember what the base number is.
The nice thing about the Sustainability room, too, it's a little more rectangular, a little more square. The Livesey room is very long and narrow, as the staff has said. If there's a con to that existing room, it's long and narrow. A little square room just functions a little nicer.
Thank you. Brian?
Was there, and I don't mean this Monday morning quarterback, but was there ever thought of, it's cheaper to build up once you've gotten a foundation and floor and everything, and is there reason to think about just because you don't need it today doesn't mean that we're not going to at some point. It's cheaper to do it now
on the bump out to make it strong enough to carry
up
additional floors. It's something that could be considered in your design work, I assume. I mean, pencil could be put to that.
Yeah, we've done it. You know, it would be not a big addition, but you'd have a little bit of premium, a little beefier columns or whatnot. We've done that before, and in doing that, we haven't really discussed it, because economics were a driving factor, you know, with this plan. But that certainly, you could certainly structure it for a future second floor.
But then, wouldn't that need its own lift or elevator?
No. I think no. You would still make it. You would then come through the second floor to get to it. Right, you would then go through a window, so to speak, on the second floor to get into it.
Okay, so the elevator, which is over on the right,
still
serves
the... The bank of elevators, you would still do. If you did this as a second floor addition, you would access it from the second floor from this side, not as an independent structure.
No. I'm just saying we don't have to build the second floor,
but at some point
we may have to.
Okay, Peter, Leslie, and then Mike.
I'm curious, do we get a lot of requests that we turn down for the Scott Heyman room?
Kat?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. I mean, we will let it out, will we not? I mean, or do we have a policy against doing that? Or?
No, we have community groups that come in. And
we do, huh?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Leslie?
Mark, can you please go for this diagram again for me, and I'll ask specifically. The red portion, the newly reconfigured, would be the new reconfigured Beverly State Conference Room.
Yes.
And all the blues is what now is becoming...
Department of Social Service multi-use interview rooms that they use for their clients. So all the different programs that they have for Department of Social Service can come down the elevator or come down the stairs and on an appointment basis meet with clients in these rooms.
That's currently existing?
All of these rooms in blue currently exist in the yellow area. I can pull up that floor plan if you want to see it.
Right, no, that's fine. So I think I'm getting my orientation now. So the yellow portion is what used to be, as what is currently the interview rooms, and that's what we are turning into dear reporting?
Correct.
Thank you.
Correct.
Plus the credit union.
And the credit union portion of it as well.
That's
correct. Okay, Mike.
Mark, could you talk a little bit about the cost per square foot, the differences between the new construction and the renovation? I know it's only estimates at this point, but that seems to be something that has been discussed recently in the press.
I left the construction cost diagram out. I can certainly return to that if you want, but we had divided the project up into four different levels of construction costs, again at this concept level. So the highest level of construction costs, of course, would be the addition. You know, we had that at over $210 a square foot for the addition. You had portions of the project that have to be completely kind of gutted and redone. So we called that a high level of renovation. So that's around $150 per square foot. You had a medium level, which would be, you know, some carpet and maybe some ceiling tiles at $95 per square foot. Then you had a small amount of areas that just needed kind of scrape and paint, we'll call it, and some finishes and things at $40 per square foot. So it's a blended number that we used prorated in the different areas because we didn't want to use one number for everything because one size doesn't fit all in this renovation area. And then on top of those numbers, then you would put, you know, design contingencies, construction contingencies, and soft cost contingencies on top of those square foot numbers I just gave you.
So that's not the budget. Those are not the budget. It's not the real number.
No. The real number is the 1 point all together, including all contingencies, design contingencies, construction contingencies, is what I... That's why I have it down there at the bottom, but they include design contingencies, construction contingencies, an escalation factor, and a 20% soft cost. At a concept level, these are the types of contingencies that you would carry.
So if you wanted the blended square foot cost, you'd go 7,000, you'd take 1.53 million and divide it by 7,000 square feet?
Correct. if you wanted a blended total project construction, that would not be the number you would see on bid day. That's a total project number. It would be the 1,500, 1.5 million divided by 7,000.
Right, just as just sensitive that it might, as those square footage numbers you listed don't include a lot.
Correct.
And we don't want to find out later that that was given as the first budget and for the total project, which it isn't. So, okay. So
we, and legislators, you know, typically like to vote on a total project number and not a bid day number.
Right, and that doesn't include furniture, right? This is just the rooms.
There is a 20% soft cost factor in there that it could maybe accommodate some furniture that we will have to define. Again, this is a study concept number. This is not an out-to-bid number.
Got it. Thank you. All right, Pam?
I really like Brian's suggestion about reinforcing the foundation for the first floor so that if we needed to add an additional floor or two, we could. My question is whether you have any idea how much that would add to this. I mean, this would be ballpark because obviously.
Yeah, I wouldn't want. Tonight I wouldn't want to give you the number, but it wouldn't be. Well, it's hard to say what's not too bad. I don't think it'd be too bad because it's going to involve, because it's a small enough addition. It'll be columns, the foundation, and the roof deck. The roof deck would then have to be. You know, it's a roof deck now designed for snow and wind and drift loads. Now it would have to be converted to a roof deck that would be a floor load.
Okay, so you have no.
I could get it to Joe within a week, but
That would be, I think that's a good idea, but it does change what we're looking at. Will.
So I too like the idea of looking into that. I know long ago when we first started talking about this, there was some discussion of trying to have the conference room have sort of multiple use and maybe carrels or something that could be moved or something or dismantled or whatever. Was that abandoned along the way? Was there?
It was.
Okay.
This is
practical.
In the last plan, there's a lot fragmentation of use than you see in this plan.
Yeah.
So when you look at the way things are organized, much more connectivity within the uses. There was a shared use plan for the Livesey conference room for day reporting that was never a comfortable fit. I believe in the mornings it would be used for classrooms, in the afternoons it would be used for meeting space and community events and so forth. Mm-hmm. That never quite worked. So one of the improvements that we see here is the preservation of a good-sized conference room, but there's not that awkwardness of the shared space of classrooms going to conference rooms in here. It's all dedicated space.
Thank you.
Peter.
How does the square footage of the day reporting allotted space compare to the square footage in the elegant quarters that it now has?
I don't know if you have that, Mark. It's smaller because
you expand
to fill the available space, and they have. So this is
it's definitely smaller. It's smaller. The original go around that we did, you know, we try to do it based on an absolute needs assessment, and as this has evolved and the desire to try to really fit this into this building, it has gotten tightened. So it's fairly lean. I think that 20 to 25 candidates is about what when we've talked to probation, Pat over at probation, that was about the number that this can accommodate.
I mean, has the director of probation weighed in on this? And,
Very much.
I mean, we talk about day reporting as being a critical part of our ATI function, and I wonder if this cuts off possible expansion of it or something like
They're
that.
They're very supportive of this. And the caseloads that Mark is talking about exceed current caseloads. I think if you look today, there are 12 to 15.
That's correct.
This does allow for additional cases.
Yeah, Pat and Patricia are very supportive of this plan.
Yeah, it really accomplishes bringing probation together, which is going to be very significant. Efficiencies,
yeah.
Right. And good for the clients who will have other business within the Human Services building. It's a good solution. Frank?
Thanks, Martha. I just want to make sure I heard that number right. The building, the proposed addition and the reconfiguration can hopefully accommodate up 20 to 25 candidates.
For day reporting.
Currently, the old library is seeing about 12 to 15.
Well, no, I said if you look today, I think their caseload today is 12 to 15. It is very volatile. That number bounces up and down. I think we're at a fairly low point today. I don't recall it going below 12, but I recall it going up into that 20 area. So it's very volatile, and it can change very quickly.
So it could be up as high as 20, approximately. Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Pat?
I understand that this isn't of the number that we're talking about, but where does this put us in total with the moves that we've had to make, the legislature, and...
Yeah. Well, in terms of our relocation needs, this gets us to the finish line. This is the last piece of the puzzle that we've been working on for the last 4 years now. So it's it. In terms of its cost, $1.5 million, turns out to be very consistent with what the planning number has been. We looked at center of government, all the options. $1.5 million is what the planning number was, and we weren't thinking about this site. Any site we'd expected would have cost us that. So if you look at this, plus the chambers at $1.2 million, so you're up to $2.7 million. COFA was $1.3 million for the renovations of it. So you're at $4 million for those moves? Are those the big ones? Those are the big ones.
Would you just say those one more time? I missed them.
Sure. COFA was $1.3 million. The renovation cost is $1.3 million. The chambers were $1.2 million. Mm-hmm. This is $1.5 million. Now, and this is where I'd like to spend just 30 seconds to go a little editorial. This will also allow us to vacate the old library. And in doing that, we don't spend money, we save money. And this is something that's in the resolution. Where right now, we're spending about $100,000 to $110,000 a year just to operate and maintain that building, and crossing our fingers that the roof doesn't collapse or that the heating system doesn't go south. So again, we are spending money. But in spending money here to put day reporting into good quarters, we will be saving an amount of money that is virtually equivalent to what we will spend to build this. So that all those offsets need to be taken into account when we make these tallies too.
There is also then potentially, depending on what we do with the old library, if, for instance, we decided to sell it, then there could be the potential for further income there, too.
In two ways. In either an acquisition or a lease price, and also if it is a taxable property, we also generate tax dollars that we share with municipalities and schools.
Okay. Thank you.
Brian, and then Carol.
Actually, that's kind of what I wanted to get at. With my question, because that goes unsaid, and I think it did go unsaid when we got into a bit of a hot water with the last project. It's going to be the same case with the project that you're going to hear about right after this one. Same thing. And none of us like to spend money, but none of us like to throw good money after bad. And if you want to spend money to save money, I think that's what we're supposed to do. It's not popular, but I mean, what do we do? I mean, do we keep putting a Band-Aid on things? Do we keep boarding out prisoners? Do we keep trying to put off the unified court system. I mean, you know, at some point you have to do it. Nobody likes it. Many times it's the smart thing to do. Just like we're talking about here, we might want to spend a little more money for the possibility of putting an additional floor or two on this project, and maybe we don't need it right now. But it's a heck of a lot cheaper than finding out 10 years from now that you need 3,000 square feet for Department of Social Services, and you got to start at the ground. So thanks, Joe, for that.
Yeah. Carol, Leslie, and Frank?
Yeah, I think this one is for Joe, maybe. Can you tell us a little bit more about how the process, and it sounds like it's not just about the program and not about the building, but I'm following on Brian's thought about whether this is really enough space for the future. Tell us a little bit about how the process works between this program and the court system. What happens when they get at to capacity, the number of people in the program? Would they say to the courts, sorry, you'll have to send everybody to jail?
We're
bored out?
Right. I believe they would say that instead of a kind of a half-day classroom experience, they'd probably have an afternoon classroom as well as a morning classroom. Right now, the classrooms are clustered in that first part of the day. But I would envision if they ever exceeded that capacity, that they would have afternoon sessions as well, so they could double up in the physical space that would be available to them.
Okay. Right now, it's 10 to 2, so they'd have to really adjust.
Conform the hours, sure.
And I think those hours are partly so that people have time for other appointments, court dates.
The programs used to start 8:30 or 9, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's flexibility there. Leslie, and then Frank.
So we're probably going way beyond where this discussion should go. Brian opened up something else I just wanted to point out for anyone who wants to be critical of what's happening here, is that you also have to consider we have the health and safety of her staff. We're working in a facility that they probably should not be working in. It's in terrible condition. Rains in there, molds, everything. And it's been in bad condition for a while. So it's time to really take that into serious consideration as we are doing something. And short of renovating the entire old library, this is a sneeze to make sure that our staff health is protected.
I'll go to Frank, and then I will take a turn.
Thanks, Martha. I have a couple of questions. First, let me mention about adding support to potentially build on top. We did this with the mental health building a number of years ago. And the idea was to, in those days when social services needed a new space because the square footage that could be added on top of mental health, we could have added another floor or two. We never did it. Part of the constraint was the elevator. But that building over on Green Street has supports under it that could support the square footage that's needed for DSS. So, and it wasn't cheap, but it was cheaper to do it at the time it was constructed than it was that you couldn't do it later. I mean, it's hard to add supports. I want to ask a couple of questions, though, about if this is approved, how long between the time that it's approved and the time that the space is available for the day reporting to move into it? Can someone say that? I have a couple of questions, but that's the first one.
Yeah, I think that in general, I think we budgeted I think it's three or four months or so for design, couple months for the bidding award and contract approval process, and then primarily because of the lead time of materials, we have budgeted like 6 months for the construction process. The construction process, that the nice thing about it, we'll say, is the addition will get constructed first, and try to be as least disruptive as we can to Department of Social Service and probation, then swing those people, you know, into that space, and then construct the day reporting last. So it's at least 6 months, could be 7 or so months of construction, you know, total. So you're looking at, you know, round numbers, you're looking at over a year before you could, you know, 12 to 14 months or so, final punch list, close out those things before you could occupy.
Okay, thank you. That's one. In the meantime, because of what Joe described about the current situation in the old library, is it proposed that the day reporting stay in the temporary space in the Human Service Building? Or, I mean, they're going to have to move. If we're doing something in the old library now to move them back in there?
We're trying, yeah. We're drying it out. We're cleaning everything. So the goal is to get the program back into the old library as quickly as we can. Now, whether we can keep them there for a full year will depend on how well that old building holds up. And there are some major systems that are concerning over there. But the goal is to get the program back. And actually, the program staff has said they'd like to get back there as soon as they can, because it has been very difficult to operate, kind of catch-as-catch-can, in the Human Services Building over the last week or so.
Would it be beneficial to be looking for other temporary space?
We're going to go on a parallel course. So we're looking to bring them back to the old library if we can. At the same time, we've got to keep our eyes open for, you know, a makeshift interim solution as well, just in case we have to move. We need to be nimble enough to be able to make that move.
Are we going to receive any reimbursement from any other municipality that participates in the day reporting system? Or is the cost for this going to be totally on the county?
This is a county cost. It's a county program. It's a county cost.
I just checked my notes here, just so, because I know everything's being recorded. The construction period we put in our proposal, as we guessed it with the phasing on this, was 10 to 12 months, not 6 to 8. It's 10 to 12 months for construction.
So
3 to 4 for design, 2 to 3 for bidding and award, and then 10 to 12 for the construction period.
18 to 20. Is there any possibility of insurance help with the repair, you know, with whatever has to be done in the building, or finding alternative space from a flood?
No, because we're self-insured for that. So that, I mean, if we're applying for state assistance to fix roads, we would certainly include this in the bundle of things that we'll ask to be reimbursed for. We're not optimistic that the state's going to be there for us, but that will be on the list.
So, Michael, can I ask one redirect based on what the...
Sure, I've got you, Peter, just a second. Yeah.
I want to make sure I heard you. It could be 18 to 20 months before we are able to occupy the new space?
Yeah, just looking at the proposal, you know, that we spent time on doing, so like I said, we'll say 4 months for design.
You don't have to go.
Yeah, six, right.
Just round numbers.
So, yeah, it's 18 could be 18.
So that would be the time frame that we'd be looking for staying in the old, going back to and staying in the old library, or looking for alternative temporary. Could be 2 years.
Yeah, the planning number we've been using is 18 months, but yes.
What bonding rate, Rick? What bonding rate? We're looking at 4% right now?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. A year and a half. We'll have to report on that. We'll see that.
But right. But we would be borrowing at the front end. So the borrowing would be when design is done, that's when we would go out and borrow the money to finance the project. So that's within the next 6 months.
We'd be doing BANs on something like this, I imagine. Thanks.
I want to make a couple of comments and then go to Peter. And I'm going to ask that we take up the resolution before we shift to the public safety building, to just kind of keep our heads in one place. I will just, and this is language in the resolution, this has been, or maybe not entirely in the resolution, their reporting has been in the old library temporarily for, I think it's 12 or 13 years. We did nothing for a long time to look for a permanent location. And then recently, since we started capital plan review and been looking at all these chess moves that we've had to make, staff has looked all over for alternative spaces. And honestly, there's just nothing that has been suitable to either buy or renovate or whatever. I mean, the one possibility that looked good was Center Ithaca, and then that fell apart. And honestly, everything was in, even if you could make it acceptable, everything was in the neighborhood of $1.5 million or more. But certainly, if you were going to find a spot to put a new building, that's the minimum that you'd be spending. This has so many advantages. We should all be comforted by the fact that we have done, we've really gone through an exhaustive process to figure out how to get the program situated well and permanently and how to move out of the old library. We've really, our staff has done a tremendous job and examined, sort of picked up every rock and looked under it. And I feel that this is a good solution. I feel that this sort of maximizes staff adjacencies and, you know, the whole sense of camaraderie and people being in one department. I think we shouldn't, you know, I think Leslin mentioned the health and safety of our staff, which is obviously critical, but I think there's a level of respect and dignity for the clients as well. I think the fact, if they're in a clean, bright, professional space as opposed to the building they've been in for 12 years, I think there's a very clear level of dignity and a higher standard for, you know, set for the clients as well. And I think that will can only improve the program. And as far as sort of spending money to save money, this whole program is an initiative that spends money to save money. The reason we've been able to stay within the confines of our jail and our variances, and even though we're, you know, going to consider adding some bed space, it's a very modest expansion compared to the $20 million project that we looked at 5 or 7 years ago, which didn't even include staffing. So it could have been a $40 million project to build a new jail. This program has been key to being able to manage those costs over time. And when I talk to other counties, at NYSAC or wherever else, I'm astonished at how little is available, how few counties really do the kind of job that we do in providing alternatives to incarceration. And it just seems like they're locking up people and spending a fortune for no good reason. And this is part of our commitment to having the right kind of program for people so that they can actually, you know, go from low-level drug offenders, for example, to taxpayers and productive citizens. So I feel that this is a culmination of a very long journey we've been on, and I think it'll be you know, we sort of, I wish the flood had held off, you know, another year and a half. It's too bad that this damage happened to the old library, happened now, but I think it's essential that we move forward, and I think we're in a good position to do it with this project. Peter.
Yeah, I agree with everything that Martha said, but I think we shouldn't overstate the problems that we have with the day reporting program. As far as I know, I haven't been for many months now, you know, in a lot of contact with that, but I was for a year before that. I do not believe that the space that we have at the moment in the old library was in fact affecting the health and safety of the people that work there. It wasn't pleasant. I myself would not be happy to have my office there, but I've had a number of bad offices in my lifetime, and I did, I think, good work in them. I don't think it's, you know, it wasn't ideal, but I think it's done its job over that period of time, and I wouldn't like to let it, this discussion end with people thinking that we have, in fact, hurt the safety of both our staff and the people that were working in it. I never heard anything to support that statement, and I heard things to the contrary. So I just wanted to make that statement.
Is there any other Dooley?
I wanted to thank Brian for his suggestion, which makes lots of sense to me. I'm glad it came from you. The day reporting program that I recall was initially a longer day for all of the participants than it has wound up being in the last few years. And I've been concerned. I support the project that's proposed. I think it makes a lot of sense to expand the Human Services building. I like the separation that the consultants have come up with for probation and DSS. But it has never seemed to me to allow for the expansion of ATI, which I cannot envision decreasing. As population grows, it just seems to me that making use of ATI, which is day reporting, is likely to grow and not diminish. So I've never thought that this addition would allow for that expansion. Listening to the numbers that were quoted tonight, I still feel that way. So I'm very supportive of this, and I'm also supportive of building the possibility of future addition.
Leslie and then Frank.
Well, if you will, the blue sections, in the blue section, does it add interview space? Is it bigger than what they had before for interviews and so on? And does it add some?
Really not. No, we were very diligent to replicate it. And Patricia was very, very, you know, we had, I'd have to count them again, 11 or 12 rooms here. And we had to have 11 or 12 rooms. And they're very similar, similar rooms. Yep.
So we didn't reduce and we didn't add any.
Correct.
Well, there's something that doesn't sit well with me with the design. I'm nobody's builder, architect, or anything, but there's just something that doesn't sit well with me with that.
Frank?
Martha, clarify something for me. The resolution is not on the floor yet, right?
Correct.
Okay. The Joe, is there, with all everything that's been said, and we're more or less discussing the content of the resolution, are there any cost efficiencies? I remember us bringing this up at Capital Programs when the architects came. Will this result in any cost efficiencies or savings for the program, and perhaps because of proximity to probation?
Maybe. We don't want to overrepresent this. The fact that you've glued together two major elements of probation, presumably there might be some savings there. Staff can report directly to managers by walking across the hall. So those kinds of things may exist. Our focus has been on what we can quantify right now, which is what it costs us to stay in that current building, which again is $100,000 to $110,000 a year. So we can accurately represent that savings. We can speculate that in the future there might be some additional operating savings because of that proximity.
I'd point out that the ongoing utilities, heating and cooling, that are added are going to be minimal because, am I right, Mark? Because, you know, this is a small percentage of, you know, 1,700 feet is a small percentage of the whole building. So,
yeah, and we're assuming and we agreed to with AREL that we will have a separate small HVAC heating and cooling unit just for the addition. Is that we don't want to tax the existing systems. We will of course rework them in the renovation side of the building, but we will have a small independent system for the addition.
Mike,
would it be time for me to move the resolution at this point?
Works for me.
Julia submitted some changes which I consider very minor. And I would normally move those changes in her revised, but based on what Jonathan just told us earlier, I guess I'm going to have to move the original resolution, which is authorizing an amendment to the 2013-2017 capital program to add a project to expand and renovate the human service building at a cost of $1,550,000. And execute a contract with Labella Associates for architectural and engineering services. That's ID number 4274, and I so move.
Second by Jim. Is there any further discussion? Since we've been here for an hour. Jim and then Dooley.
Yeah, I did not say anything until the resolution is on the floor. Let me just say every day that goes by keeps the library open as a facility and loses the county potential revenue. I think the reason that we moved the people out of the library as quickly as we did is because some people around this table lived through the sick building syndrome, and I believe the commissioner and personnel, county administrator and others, did not want to get caught up in that again.
Nope.
It was a quick move, and it was a called for move, and it gives us time to do some other things. I've listened to all of you intently, trying to mitigate the criticism that we got for this room, and you know, I'm not going to join in that. I'm not going to apologize for the things that we have to do. When that building was built, there were probably 40,000 less people in the county than there is now. We didn't have any programs like we do now. And it's all part of growing up. And the county has grown up, and we've chosen to go different directions, and rightfully so, and I think. This is the cost of doing business. You add it all up, all the things that we've done, and some of you did, it still does not buy us a government center. And I think we've made a good effort over the last couple of years to save money, still offer good programs, and even be able to expand some of the things we've done. So I'm certainly going to support this.
Kathy Luce?
Thanks. I also haven't said anything, partly because this has been a long effort, and I was on Capital Plan Review, I was on Space Needs Assessment, and I've watched this process, and I had my criticisms of many of the things that have gone on, but I'm going to come out in support of this, and I'll tell you a little bit about my thought processes, because I don't think it's an ideal solution. As a matter of fact, I think that it's a kind of, in its way, a Band-Aid. I think that partly we're hypersensitive to spending money right now, and I think that's a good thing. But, for example, the compromises that have been made when we first heard the day reporting was going to move, you know, and have to be moved into what essentially turned out to be smaller areas to work in, am I right? I think that that's been compromised, and you know, the effort not to have to share was really important at that time to both Patricia and Pat. And with time, the compromises that were made to allow some agreement on that were, I think, less than ideal, but that's what a compromise is. And I think that the flooding that happened and the need to get out of the library, many of us, at least myself, back in the day, I thought the library was still a viable building. It's not anymore, and it's very close to my district's neighborhood. And we just got a letter a while back from some people that would really like to see that space utilized for older people who would like to age in place. And it's clearly underutilized right now. So, and it's off the tax rolls, and it could be on. There's a number of things about it that bother me, not just the least of which is losing the space, the Beverly Livesey conference room size, on the heels of having lost the Women's Community Building, really puts a cramp in the style of community groups that want to use that space. And these are for large meetings. Someone mentioned asking about the conference room, the jailhouse conference room. Am I saying that right? Okay, it's getting late, and I'll try and say this. Was it Scott Heyman conference room? That's not nearly big enough for the kinds of events that used to take place in the Women's Community Building or even in the Livesey conference room. That's another compromise. And there's ways that we've done our best to address every criticism and to try and come up with something that works and is still cost-effective. It's costing us money, and I'm going to be repeating the fact that a lot of this is the result of the unified court system making us move. So I'm also a little bit concerned because we're doing all these things. I'm on the budget committee, and I know that we want to get these things in place before the budget season, and the capital programs are really important. Part of me is a little rankled, though, and I just got to say this because, you know, I'm on the livable wage working group, and, you know, we kept saying to ourselves, how much would it cost to pay county contracted workers a livable wage? And we wrestled with and came up with all sorts of exceptions that would arguably need to be implemented to keep our county running due to federal regulations and other obstacles. And those costs would be, by anybody's estimate, at least as much as this building addition. So it's a tough decision. This isn't an easy thing of just like saying, okay, let's do it. We want a new space. Won't it be nice? You know, we'll get new furniture for the employees. And I just want to make it clear to everybody, I'm supporting this. I still have lots of questions. I'm annoyed that it's going to have to happen at the same time that we're spending a bunch of other money when the financial and bonding situation is not good. Some may say it's only going to get worse, but I don't even know. So for me, I think this is the best we can do right now. And that's not a resounding recommendation, but it's an honest assessment. And I wrestled with this because I don't like to. I think in both the short runs and the long runs, this is going to work for us. And I think that in today's world of government expenditures, that's about the best we can hope for right now. So I'm going to support this.
Dooley, I apologize. I hadn't written you down here, so you're next, and you were supposed to be next. And then Dave? Okay.
I would like to move to the changes that you found in your red folder. There are two of them. One is, well, there are no numbers on this, I'm sorry. And three whereases from the bottom, which identifies the $1.5 million as a preliminary estimate. I think having heard Mark speak tonight, that's important. And the next one is the next whereas, which makes it clear that the $110,000 associated with day reporting in the library is also annual cost. And it explains that that is relevant for as long as the program occupies the old library. So those are the two changes I'd like to move.
What? Lost you, Dooley, was it?
Those are the two changes I'd like to move.
Seconded by Kathy.
Thank you.
Brian, no.
No, I have a question.
Seconded by Kathy Luce. Okay. Dave and then Brian.
Okay, I too have not said very much this evening, but I do have a couple of comments on this project. One is, it's a lot of money, okay? And our public is going to say it's a lot of money. And for what purpose, okay? I'm going to support it. The reason I'm going to support it is because I think it is a pretty good compromise. But in lieu of keeping the old library, I would like to propose that something that I heard at the meeting the other day. Our school district used modular classrooms for a couple of years while they were doing reconstruction at the schools and taking out whatever. I think we could find a space to do that and get rid of the library and help offset the cost and not have to finance $1.5 million. Okay. That's what I'd like to see us do. I'd like to see us move the library, get rid of it, take the cash, put it back into the project. And I also agree with Brian's proposal. We'd be penny wise and pound foolish if we didn't build those stanchions tall enough and strong enough to support a second floor right from the get-go.
So I think where the program goes temporarily is obviously not part of this resolution. But that's an interesting idea, the idea of finding a couple trailers or you know, external units that, which, you know, I've seen in other functions. Not sure where they, maybe they could sit in the parking lot there. So that's another alternative that the committee can examine.
My thinking is it's good enough for our school children, it's good enough for these folks.
Right. So, thank you, Dave. And then Brian.
Yeah. Very interesting. I never even thought of that, but that's yeah. Yeah, you're right. The sooner we can do whatever it is we are going to end up doing with that property down there, the better. Dooley, I know what you're doing here and your changes, but $100,000 in annual costs associated with the program. I don't know if it's the program, but it's the maintenance required for the program to be there. Is that what we're getting at?
Yes.
Right, that's not the staff cost for the program.
Right. Well, that's kind of what it appears like it's saying here. So if we can somehow massage, maintenance in the facility so that it better explains that's the cost that we're no longer going to have. Is it,
all right, if you think
I mean, that is what we're trying to do here, right?
It'd be easy to do if you want. I think if you added, you see that where it says offset by approximately $100,000 in annual costs. Mm-hmm. If you added after the word annual building operation and maintenance costs, that would get to your point.
Okay. Yeah. It's not the cost of the program. It's the cost of what you're just saying.
Right.
So it just makes it clearer.
Thank you. Absolutely. That's sensible.
Okay. And the seconder? Okay. I've got, you're on a roll, Brian. Keep going to me. I've got Frank, Peter,
I'm
Dave.
Sneezing like crazy. I'm just trying to get out of here. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Really?
Frank, Peter, Dave.
At Dooley's amendments are on the floor now. I have another amendment I'd like to introduce, but I'll hold that until the vote is appropriate to hold that.
You could amend. There could be a second amendment.
No, I don't. I think it might be. What do you think?
It depends what it is, Frank.
Well, let me ask a question first, and then I'll offer the amendment to see if that succeeds. How many staff people are currently associated with the program, approximately?
Three of ours and two or three contract staff.
So six or so? Okay. The amendment I'd like to offer goes back. I was hoping Dave would pursue what he was saying, but he didn't offer it as an amendment. He just offered it as a statement. I tried this at the committee, and since some of what Dooley is suggesting came out of the committee, I'd like to offer as a further amendment
that perhaps, in the last whereas or the first resolved, that upon sale of the old library building, the proceeds will be applied to offset any expenses associated with the renovation of the human services building.
Right, we lost half of that. Pick your microphone up a little bit.
Is that better?
Yeah.
I'd like to offer, where did you say, Kathy? In the last
renovation.
That the renovation, where? Oh, you're talking about the last resolve, or the first resolve. That basically, what I want to offer is that any costs that we, or any income that we enjoy from the sale of the old library, be applied to offset any expense we incur in renovating the Health and Human Services building for this. For this purpose.
So is that a motion?
I'd like to make that motion. I don't know quite where to put it, though.
All right. Well, let's see if there's a second for the idea. Second by Dave. Let me point out that if that presupposes that we will sell the parcel, that is a decision we haven't made as a body. So.
Well, we have a precedent, though. We had the same understanding when we did the when we bought the building from Cornell to house the health department. We agreed that we would apply if we decided to sell. We didn't have a purchase offer on the table either from the current hospital to buy the old health department building or any of that land surrounding it. It was just in the event that we did do that, we would apply the proceeds to offset part of the work that we did in the health building. And I'm just suggesting we do the same thing.
I actually think I don't remember exactly, but I think we had, before that point, we had already made a decision to let go of the parcel. I'm not sure we're at the same spot with this, but I see Mike and Jim, and if we can, all right.
Yeah, I would not support Frank's amendment. We did talk about that, as you say, Frank, in the committee. I think it's premature for this kind of a thing to be looked at. We're going to be looking at the old library. We're waiting for an appraisal to be done. We're going to be taking that up at our next meeting. We hope to have the appraisal by that time. But to designate where you take the money from that sale, if it is sold, and apply it to one particular program, I think is foreclosing our ability to make a reasoned decision. It would go to the general fund if there was a sale, and it would support lots of programs. I mean, why to the day reporting program? Why not to the COFA costs that we had? If we put COFA at Brown Road, we wouldn't have had to do this. So, you know, I'm just saying there's lots of places, and I just think it would be the wrong place to put this amendment, Frank.
Okay, we've got a confused list here, and first off, assuming we know, Dave, you seconded the amendment, right? Okay. That's kind of separate from Dooley's, and I guess usually we take the second one before the first one. All right, let's try to keep discussion right now to whether we include this amendment that says that the sale of the parcel, the proceeds will go to offset the cost of day reporting. Is that's your goal, right, Frank? Okay. So let me go to Peter, were you going to talk about this or the prior?
I guess it's gotten to me so twisted and complicated, I don't think I want to add to it.
All right. Dave, I've got you, and then Jim, Will, and Carol.
I was just going to suggest that the savings, if we were to sell a library and not have to support it as far as maintenance and heat, water, whatever. One of those modular units would probably be a heck of a lot less expensive to maintain on a daily basis and might offset the rent on that unit and still not exceed our total cost that we have today.
Okay, that's the concrete idea about what we do in the physical world. What the amendment in front of us is sort of assumes we'll sell the parcel and is about how we book the proceeds and count them against their reporting. So I think what your idea is a very interesting one that doesn't require us to depend on a landlord out there and finding the right space to rent. Might be another alternative that moves us out of the building more quickly. So I think that's kind of parked over here, and the committee and the staff will look at that. It's not at the moment related to the resolution. And I've got Jim really trying to jump out of his seat, and then Will, Carol, and Brian.
I'm going to call a question on Frank's amendment, please.
Is there a second to that? Will seconds that. How many are ready to end debate on Frank's motion, Frank's amendment, on where to put the money?
Could you restate it, please?
Frank, can you you have it, Kathy?
This is calling the question you're voting on.
Right. Do you understand enough what the... Okay. All right, all in calling the question, please raise your hand. Nine, opposed? Six, that passes 9-6. So it's time to vote on Frank's amendment. So let us have a read of it. Yeah, Kathy? And let's say between the last whereas and the first resolved. Is that okay, Frank?
Sure.
Okay. This is what I have. Upon sale of the old library building, the proceeds will be applied to offset any expense incurred by renovating the human services building for this purpose.
Okay. All in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand. Opposed? I trust that that's 2-13, that fails. All right. We are back to Dooley's amendment. We could go back to Will, Carol, Brian, and Frank, but I'm not sure that's who wants to talk. All right, Carol.
Yeah, I just want to explain, I voted against Frank's not because I don't think it's a good idea to talk about what to do with the old library, or even possibly, you know, the timing had been right to apply the money, but because I just think it would, the timing doesn't work out. It doesn't allow us to engage in
right.
a...
This
in
is
a,
done. I understand we're that. Finished with that.
I understand that, but I just want people... I want Frank and Dave, in terms of voting on the ultimate motion here, to understand that when you go to sell a building like the old library, it's a long process with realtors and the whole question about whether you're tearing down the building first and it's negotiation, and it would have tied us into a much quicker process that would have not have netted us as good a price.
We're discussing Dooley's amendment.
I understand that. And Dooley's amendment, unless I hear from staff that this amendment makes a content-oriented change that it wasn't in the original motion, I will vote against that because I think the initial work that was done by the committee and the staff adequately conveyed the sense of the whereases and the resolution here. And on the main motion...
No, we're not on the main motion. We're not on the main motion.
Go again.
If there's nobody else, I have something to say about Dooley's amendment. Is there anyone else? I would support adding a preliminary on the total project budget. I would support the word annual or annual building operation and maintenance. I would absolutely not support the last part of it, and so I'm actually going to vote against the whole thing.
Explain why.
It's a good idea to make it clear that this is a preliminary budget estimate. Estimate kind of means preliminary, but it doesn't seem to be understood by the media. So I kind of like adding preliminary.
Not necessarily.
All right. Pointing out that the costs to be saved are annual building operation and maintenance costs is, I think, valuable. But to specify, I don't understand at all the idea of that we'd be saving those costs for as long as that program operates the library. I think wherever we put that program, there would be annual building and operation and maintenance costs. So I don't know why that caveat makes any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me. Will and then Frank.
I agree with your logic, and for that reason, I'm going to propose an amendment that would drop that last section while retaining all the rest.
So. Is there a second for that? Second by Brian. So the discussion is sort of how whether to separate those two and the last part. Okay, Frank, then Kathy Luce.
Okay, I just want to address your comment. And I'm not as good a wordsmither as Dooley is, but I think the last part of that whereas that said, that states, for as long as that program occupies the old library, refers to the $100,000. That is specific and has been made very, very, the argument for that savings is associated with the maintenance and operating costs, the building operating costs that are associated with keeping the program in the building. So I think there's a direct tie-in, and Dooley, you may have to help me understand the syntax in order to associate those, but I agree with you 100% that with Dooley, 100% that the last part of that whereas refers to the $100,000. It's not plucked from air. It actually associates the two items. So I think that the argument is to keep it whole, keep it in, like Prego.
Kathy Luce and then Jim.
Thank you. I was listening to your argument, and I think that where the tipping point is for me is I thought, and I can't say what the intent was, but to me it clarified exactly what I was concerned about, and that is, what if it's not going to be in that building? Then is it still $100,000? Now, that's a less fancy way of saying what Frank said, but to me it's a clarification. And if you're not clarifying that, then do we want to end up giving the impression that we're saving that much, even if it's not located there, which we know it's going to be moved and not going to be located there? So if we want to not give that impression, maybe we should take out that $100,000 savings business, because otherwise we're kind of misleading people. And that's why one of the many reasons I seconded Dooley's original changes.
Jim and then Mike.
I'm going to call a question on whatever is on the floor.
Jim, Will's amendment right. is on the table. Is there a second to that? Peter seconds to calling the question. All in favor of calling the question on Will's amendment? To be ready to vote on that? Opposed? That passes 12 to 3. We are now voting on the amendment that says we are going to keep the preliminary, we're going to keep annual costs, annual building operation and maintenance costs, but we would not include for as long as that program occupies the old library. The strikeout of occupying the old library, is that... I'm trying to clarify. Dooley, did you strike out those words in your amendment?
It was called.
I'm trying to clarify what people are voting on, Kathy. If I didn't do it, somebody would ask me, I'm sure.
Yes, so they have to go back in.
Okay. Because I look at what's in the packet, and that's in there. Understood? So the last whereas would say approximately $100,000 in annual building and operation, building operation and maintenance costs associated with the day reporting program occupying the old library. Correct, Will? That's what we're voting on. All in favor of that language, please.
I thought I understood it, and you just totally confused me.
That's why when the question was called, there should be no more discussion.
She can ask for clarification.
I'm not sure what we're voting on. That's why I'm there.
Will, do you want to explain
not
your amendment?
To discuss it.
So, Pat, if you look down, you'll see the underline, which is in bold, which is the duly suggested wording, for as long as that program occupies the library. I'm proposing... Do you see that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm proposing that we delete that one section and we revert to the strikeout section, which read, occupying the old library. So that was the original word.
So we take out for as long as that program.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I wasn't objecting to your question. I was objecting to the original explanation after we had clearly voted to call the question, after which there's to be no more discussion.
Carol, did you have your hand up?
I have my hand up. I just want you to read again the words after annual.
See what happens?
I will read the words. I think, Kathy Luce, you have asked many times to have it clarified what we're voting on. That's all that's happening here. The last whereas on this page would say will nearly be offset by approximately $100,000 in annual building operation and maintenance costs associated with the day reporting program occupying the old library and. Correct, Will? That's
right.
Your motion.
Yeah.
All in favor of that language, but leaving the other two changes duly suggested. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? That passes 9-6. All right. Now, I think it obviates or makes it relevant Dooley's First Amendment, which is normally we go back to the First Amendment that's been proposed. Am I right, Dooley? We just voted 9-6. Am I right, Jonathan?
No. You would now have on the table Dooley's amendment as amended by Will's changes, and that's what's on the table.
Right. Okay. Mike.
I just want to point out that Mark is patiently waiting for us here. Mark has a drive home of an hour and 45 minutes, and he wants to be able to give us the second presentation tonight after we get done with this. So please keep that in mind when we're debating this.
Maybe we can just vote.
I'll call it.
Jim?
I'll call the question again. Whatever it is.
You don't have to explain to me.
If we can just vote, then we don't have to go through calling the question. All right, let's just vote, okay? Who wants to make Will's the main motion? All in favor, please raise your hand.
I wouldn't call it that. I think that's kind of...
To accept the amendment that we have just crafted to be the main, become the main motion. Accept that. Jonathan, do you want to explain this?
Dooley's amendment as amended by Will.
Okay.
That's what's on the table.
All right, that's what we're voting on.
Chair is asking who is in favor of that.
All in favor of that, please raise your hand. Thank you, Jonathan. Opposed? Passes 13-2. Now, are we ready to vote on the main motion? Peter?
I wanted to call a question, but that's not necessary.
Let's hope for the best. All in favor of the main motion, please. And remember, this is amending. No.
The main motion is now, what was amended is now the main motion. So, Chair is correct. Now you're voting.
We're voting to amend the capital plan. This is the project. We're voting to amend the capital plan to approve this project going forward.
Roll call vote, please.
Okay.
Ms. Mackesy?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
No.
Mr. Proto?
No.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robison?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
13 ayes, 2 noes.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mike. And I think the Capital Plan Review Committee has some marching orders to try to sort out what the next steps are. Everybody switch your brains for a minute. Now we're going to the public safety building.
And Ms. Madam Chair,
yes?
Just as point of information, in spite of the fact that it's 10 after 9 and I respect what our colleague Mike Lane has brought forward, several of us still have committee reports, and in deference to everyone that participates in the committee process, I hope that we'll have time to give those due enough for presentation.
We don't live an hour and a half away.
We understand, Frank. Okay.
You.
Go ahead, Mark. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So this is an idea that was originally proposed by the Sheriff's Office to gain some additional space at the county jail and public safety building. And they currently operate an outdoor recreation yard, but during inclement weather, they move the inmates to an inside recreation yard that is approved by the commission. And it is, therefore, their outdoor recreation yard from a safety standpoint and a liability standpoint is not a year-round recreation yard. By commission statute, every inmate is required to be offered 1 hour of recreation per day. So the idea they had was to build a year-round shelter outside and then convert inside recreation program area into a dormitory. So as we're looking at the back side of the jail here, where my cursor is, it's currently the outdoor recreation yard that is there. We'll also talk about this area here, that they have an inmate garden area program, a garden area in the back that they want to enclose, you know also. So phase one, the quick highlights here of phase one is building a year-round exterior recreation yard, is to move the indoor to outdoor, provide access to this new recreation space from all the different areas in the jail, provide a more secure area for this inmate garden program. It has to be fully integrated with security control systems and provide lighting for year-round use, because on December 21st, it's dark at 4 o'clock. So this is just the a site plan of this area. I just showed it to you in the aerial. So where the gray area here is where we're looking to build this year-round recreation shelter.
Mark, show us where Warren Road is.
Warren Road is to the left.
Thank you.
Come into the main drive into the parking lot. The front door to the jail is here. And the back side, the patrol areas in the back. This is a garage that the part of the sheriff's operation here is now. So this is the recreation yard we saw in the aerial. Half of this area will then be converted to a year-round non-heated shelter. And then we're going to create a new access. The dormitories are currently located. There are three dorms currently here now, 1, 2, 3. We're going to create a fourth one here. We'll be able to access this recreation yard by coming out the back and building a new enclosed fence area out to the recreation yard. We'll maintain the existing access off the housing units. 1, 2, and 3 will maintain those areas. This is just a 3D rendering now. Warren Road is in front of you on the horizon. This is an enclosed fence area. It'll be 8 feet wide, 8 feet tall, and have a lid on top of it, a chain link fence lid. This is how the inmates would get here from the dormitory area. This is this concrete block, precast concrete
plank roof structure. This is a view looking inside. We're showing some razor ribbon here just to provide some additional deterrent. We thought from an economical standpoint, some reinforced concrete block would be, you know, 12 to 15 feet tall, but a concrete plank would be a nice smooth surface to eliminate bees, birds, climbing temptations, ceiling, things like that. So it's a nice clean surface that we could then just mount some lighting and some cameras on. And then this would provide us with, and other counties have done this around New York State, to provide them with some shelter that they can use for year-round access. Phase two, now that we have vacated this existing indoor recreation area, we can now convert that area into an active dormitory space. So it renovates that, remove the exterior door, provide security control system, it'd be required to have a new inmate toilet area, and provides 7 additional beds in this location. So back here's the mini version of the jail here. The existing dormitories are to the top. Is 1, 2, 3 existing dormitories. So this would add a fourth one in this pinwheel. We have one officer in the center, and we have been assured by the Commission of Corrections that this one officer will be no staff increase for this fourth dormitory, but it allows this officer to see all 4 dorms. As he provides there, we align the bunks for good alignment to the for the officer. A new maximum security front here. A couple tables required, by the commission, by minimum standards. And a new toilet area here with some low walls here for visibility in there. Showers, we currently have a shower room over here to the top of the page. We would utilize the existing shower. So this is phase two that would be done. Phase three is very similar. It takes the library, the current live programmatic library space in the other portion of the jail, and it does the same thing. We take out the library and we add in we've done the square foot calculations. It adds in 7 additional dormitory bunks. It currently has a toilet area, so we would just have to do some refurbishing of that toilet area, and then a new maximum security front on that dorm. This programmatic area has been converted to a dorm already. The front was never converted to a maximum security containment, and so this budget also includes replicating the front on that cell surface to a maximum security. This area, programmatic area, cannot be constructed until the library is relocated someplace else per the commission's standards and acceptance. So the budgets we put together for, and these are all in numbers, so they include design contingency, construction contingency, escalation and soft cost factors. So we have phase one, the outdoor recreation, year-round recreation is around $677,000. Phase two is converting that old indoor space to a 7-person dorm is $177,000. And then phase three, converting the library into another dorm is $151,000. As I said, because the commission will only let you do phase one and two at this time until we can relocate the library, I group the budgets so that phase one and two is around $855,000. All 3 phases, if you chose to do that and find the location, would be a little over $1 million.
Yeah.
Are you done?
I think, yes, I'm done.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Right. The resolution that is working its way through, that's been to public safety, will go to budget, then come to the full legislature, has adequate funds to design 1, 2, and 3, but to construct 1 and 2. So the idea that came out of public safety was, since the architects will be at work at the drafting tables doing the design, it would make sense to go ahead and have them design phase 3, which is really something that we can't do until we found a new home for headquarters. It's more economical to do it that way. It's also important because if we can show the State Commission on Corrections that we do have some ideas about how to further increase capacity, that might serve us well when we talk to them about variances and our good faith and so forth. So, again, that resolution is about $900,000, adequate for design of both sides and construction of phases 1 and 2, sheltered area, and the conversion of interior space to bed space.
Okay, thank you both. Carol, Pat, Julie.
So I have a couple of questions. The outdoor area? Yeah, so how much space is left for outdoor area as opposed to
we took about outdoor. We took in the site plan here in the gray area, we took about half the yard. When we talked to them from an efficiency standpoint, we took about half of the yard that is out there.
And how does that affect the ability? I don't know if there's activities that go on, like games.
No, the commission and what has gone with that is they just need outdoor fresh air. A facility has to have an outdoor recreation yard. I believe it's 1,200, it's either 12 or 1,500 square foot minimum. And you don't have to provide basketball, handball, rec ball. All you have to do is provide them walking area outside.
I understand we don't have to, but do we currently? And then where are the gardens currently? And would they be in that outdoor area as well?
The garden area is off to here. So they currently have access to this area. So we're going to just add a new fence. We already have a fence on two sides here. The building is on the third side, so we're just going to add a piece of fence here, like 15 feet tall, across here to make this a more secure area. From an operational standpoint, I'm sure it's a minimum security inmate that they would allow in the garden area.
Okay, and the question about the outdoor games, are they allowed now, or is there an area that accommodates that?
It's a hard surface. It's just a paved hard surface.
It's currently asphalt surface. There's a basketball hoop out there now.
And then which phase was the library, taking out the library?
Phase three. The third phase is the library.
Okay. And under that, are you proposing to put the library somewhere else?
Not yet. The charge right now is coming up with budgets for those three phases, understanding as Joe said that it's a bigger picture to kind of clear out area for further program and or further jail operations.
Well, I mean, of all the activities there, that for me was one that I know there's a computer in there. I would want to make sure that we had an available space for people to do that.
The state would require that. They would require that. So this would really be a fairly large relocation, expansion, or whatever to accommodate that kind of a move.
You mean the whole third phase is...
Third phase. It would be tied to other exterior expansions or relocations.
Yeah. I've got Pat, Dooley, Peter, Jim, and Frank.
Pass.
Dooley.
I understood Mark talked about relocating the library. When you summarized from your point of view, you mentioned moving headquarters, so that was something else.
I think when you talk to the sheriff, among the sheriff's concepts, this was one. Another would be that headquarters and civil would actually move out of the public safety building, and whether it's an expansion of that building or it's a nearby building or some other place, that would then free up the entire PSB to be used for jail purposes. So this would be an element of that, and again, I don't know that you would necessarily have to move headquarters out, but you'd certainly need, under state requirements, to build replacement space for the library.
And the second question I had, looking at the chain link fence passageway, which is closed on all sides and the top. How do you get snow out of that in the winter? Is it going to have heated concrete at the bottom?
No, typically when we have built these, that you can shovel snow out of, you know, you can shovel snow out of them. What is not shown in here also is the cell tower that is currently here. If you look at my cursor here, there's currently a cell tower here that's not drawn in this drawing. Probably should be, but it's not. And I'm putting 2 8x8 access doors here so that I can get a vehicle through here to maintain this cell tower. So we can operationally shut down this door, slide those gates open, and get the snow out of there when we have to.
Thank you.
Peter.
I should have asked this question earlier at a committee meeting, but why are we only putting a roof over half the space instead of putting it over the whole space?
I think it's economics. I think it's operational things, and I think it's economics.
Yeah. I mean, is there? How did we decide on half of the space?
I think it decided on half of the space is we presented, I think, a couple different options to the sheriff's office, and it was trying to fit it in approximately this existing recreation space. It was becoming awkward because they have existing 4 points of entry, you know, and so as we looked at 4 points of entry and we looked at how to make this thing bigger, smaller, cost effective, whatever, it came out to be, to from an operational standpoint, from a visibility standpoint, from an existing condition standpoint, half seemed to fit the bill.
Okay, I mean, the only question that went through my mind, are the people going to be crowded in there, or you know, it's raining outside and they go outside?
It's bigger than a basketball court. It's bigger than a full basketball court.
All right, okay.
Peter, Jim, Frank, Pam, and then I have a question. I did to Peter. I'm sorry, Jim.
Thank you. An interesting comment that was made that you made during the presentation, that it would not require any new people.
Phase two.
And I recognize that the Commissioner on Corrections has to review all this anyway as we move forward.
They've seen it preliminarily.
And I just want to remind people, if I don't, I'm sure Brian will, if you add staff, if you add one, you actually add five. And you know, that multiplies very quickly when you start putting that salary number down. So, you know, I'm totally in support of doing something here, but if we get to a point where we break the bank by having to add staff, then we've defeated our own purpose, I think.
Frank, Pam, and then me.
Thanks, Martha. Mark, could you put the slide back up that has the dollar amounts for each phase? Thank you. That's all I need.
Pam.
Well, I'm very much in favor of this. For years I have felt that we really we are not treating our inmates with. I mean, it's just too crowded up there. And I also think that the sheriff's department is just, I mean, it's just embarrassing. When I went up there, now I haven't been up there in several years, but when I toured that place when I first got on the legislature, I mean, there were deputies who were had their office in a closet. You know, it was not good. It felt as if the inmates were in a similar overcrowded situation. So I think this is great as a first phase, even though there are three phases, in terms of making everybody have a space to work and live in up there that is more suitable.
My question is, and then Brian, phase three is design of the additional dorm space, but you have to move the library, right?
Correct.
Well, but the cost of phase three is the actual physical renovation as well as related design fees, correct?
The right. We did everything holistic numbers.
What it doesn't include, though, is the cost to find new space for the library.
Correct.
Okay. So that 151 is not just the cost to design it.
No. These are construction and design costs. These are all fully loaded, like a shopping menu. They're fully loaded. So the $151,000 is design fees, contingency fees, construction costs. Everything is in the 151, just as it is in the 177 and the 677.
Okay. I know we're not looking at a resolution right now, so this is we're just educating ourselves. But it seems to me, because as you said, if we were to do phase three, that would be part of, you know, moving the civil out and be part of a much bigger project. I guess I'd be reluctant to spend any time or money on that when we really don't know what that's going to look like later on. I mean, whenever it is. And the dollars to design that one section, it sounds like, would be a small part of a much larger project later on anyway, that where you're going to, you know, the designers are going to be sitting at the desk on the larger project. So I guess I'd be... I think it's good to have the vision of that, but until we can really envision the full solution, I don't know if it would make sense to spend money on that.
I have thought you could design it as a bid alternate and get a price on it, but that's just buying you time, assuming that you have some time for a decision on it, versus designing it and just putting it on the shelf.
Yeah, my problem is I'm not confident that when we took it off the shelf, it'd be relevant anymore. I mean, we might be talking about doing a whole new jail. I don't know. And since it's part of a bigger thing, I don't think it gets us, down the road, right now. But that's, but again, we're not voting on a resolution tonight anyway. Peter?
I just wondered, follow up on what Martha said, is there some reason where you would want to make sure that the phase three fit before you made some decisions about phase one and phase two that might compromise doing phase three? I mean, if that were the case, then it's the right thing to do it now. But if it isn't, then...
I think they're completely independent. I think phase one and phase two are intertwined. But I think phase three was an additional idea that they had and wanted to get a price on.
Okay, so how much are we spending to get that price?
The $151,000?
No, it's $151,000 to build it, right?
And design.
And design. But how much of that is design, would you guess?
Well, we have 20% soft costs built into that number, which is, design fees, management fees, bonding costs. It's a fully loaded
number. So you think
number.
It's like $30,000 is what we're at most is what we're going to spend on the design of that
on phase three.
On phase three, yeah. So it isn't a lot of money. Okay.
Joe.
And I don't think the pure design cost will be even that. I think it's probably less than that to design that third phase.
Right.
I think it's less than that.
Brian?
Actually, I didn't even know we were going to be doing this tonight because I hadn't gone all the way through committee, but thanks, Mark, for bringing it and staying, and welcome to the county legislature. But we should probably back up just a little bit on all of this because people are saying, well, here we go. We're spending another $1 million. And you need to remember that we've been working off variances given by the Department of Corrections for years and years. There's been a little bit of a change over there. And we're not talking about small variances. We're talking about from, like, hard numbers of 72 and their recommendations, 72 inmates, their recommendations have been at a minimum of 110. That's where we're supposed to get to. With variances, I think we're mid-80s, something like that. But that mid-80 figure kind of fits well right now, because We've still been averaging somewhere around 5 to 7 board outs in that area, which is not cheap. At $80 a day, Joe, I don't have those figures right off the top of my
head. $29,000 a year if you annualize one boarded out inmate.
Okay. And those aren't, those aren't fudged numbers. That's what it is. I mean, that's what it costs, $80 a day. And that's just the inmate cost. That's not the car, the deputies, the gas, very expensive to do that. And these 7 beds are not going to fully take care of all that. But they're certainly going to put a dent in it. And to be able to do this without having to add staff is an even better thing. Quite honestly, phase 3, this isn't going to be good enough for the Department of Corrections. We're still way below where they want and where they need us to be. And they're the ones that have the hammer. I mean, they could come in and just really decimate our budget here if they really wanted to and hold us to certain numbers and demographics and this and that. So quite honestly, phase 3, we want to look at that. And that's going to be kind of a placeholder for us, and to show them in good faith we're not stopping. You know, we're trying to do what you want us to do. My feeling has been, and that's just me, it's just my opinion, that entire building could and probably should just be corrections. And that, the road patrol, the civil, all the other things, whether we can keep them right there or whether we have to put them somewhere else or downtown or whatever, that's how big that jail maybe should have been way back whenever. And it's certainly as big as the state's been telling us right along that it needs to be. How it is we get there, we don't know. I mean, we're taking, innovative baby steps and showing progress, and maybe that'll be enough. I don't know. But Carol, to you, who is this? Oh, Pam, you said, people are in closets. The inmates aren't in closets because they got there's square footage regulations that they have to be minimums. There has to be a library. There has to be recreation. It's not like you're taking this stuff away. You may need to move it around. And quite honestly, you're going to make it better than it was. This is better than it was. This recreation space that we're now converting to dormitory space, seldom, if ever, used for that purpose. So it's my hat's off to Kenny and Derek for putting this on a napkin and getting it to where it is now. Here we go. I mean, we're moving forward, and we're talking about $855,000, like it's we've been talking about a lot of money tonight, not just this. But there again, this is money that, it's penny wise or dollar foolish. You can continue. We had board outs where the Department of Corrections, and I'm sure a lot of people, you folks remember, Department of Corrections suspended our variances for a couple of years, and I'm going to guess 2004 and 5 or whatever, and it's, $800,000, $1 million a year. In 1 year, that's more than what this project is right now. So, and we're not even here to sell it at this point. It's just kind of information. But anyway,
we're cutting down on Mark's travel time.
Yeah,
no.
Mike.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that point that Brian just finished with, and that's we aren't making a decision on this tonight. It will be coming back, and hopefully we could get on to our committee reports.
Okay. Anything pressing on this, which we know we'll come back and talk about again? All right. Mark, thank you very, very much. I think it was a good use of your time to update us on both of these because this... second project is very important.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Yes, Carol.
If you could consider before we get into committee reports or after, there are two gentlemen, I don't know if people noticed, who came in the back of the room maybe an hour and a half ago, who I had noticed came into our last meeting about a third of the way through. And I talked to them afterwards, and it turns out they came right from work at our Solid Waste Center, it so happens, wanting to talk to us under public privilege of the floor. They can never get here at 7:30 and can never get here before the hour that they managed to walk in again tonight. So if it's they're asking for permission to speak, I think they passed up. So however you want to handle that. I think they're only asking for the usual 3 minutes.
There's no objection. All right. I mean, I just think that this is not our rules. This is not, you know, this is not our agenda. It's very late already. We have a lot more business to do. But Milton Webb and then Stanley McPherson, if you want to take it 3 minutes each. But really, this can't be a regular thing. We'll just make an exception tonight.
Welcome. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you for wanting to hear what we have to say, and thank you for putting up with us.
You have to tell us where your name and where you live.
My name is Stanley McPherson. I live 509 West Clinton Street, Ithaca, New York. I'm here tonight to express the living wage, the toll that is taking on us and those that surround us. And we're here to impress upon you that it's been a long time. We know that you are trying to make things happen and sorting things out, but it's taking a toll on us, and the toll is not enough money to do the things we need to do, whether it be rent, whether it be a car note, whether it be children's family. It's coming down on us kind of hard now because that's why we're pushing hard now, because it's in our everyday lives. And we are saying we need something. And we all have to live lives. It might not seem like it's doing anything. It might not seem like, well, it's helping. But we are saying that we need something done. We come to the meetings. We hear funds moving around. We hear about monies going there and here. But we're saying that we need a living wage. We know it's going to the different committees and people are talking and this and that, but we need some action now. And it's not just us, it's people that has two and three jobs. Some people getting laid off. Some people got extra mouths to feed. These are our concerns. And the concerns are real deep. And so we are asking you to bring the bill to the floor. Now we know that where we was working at, one of our managers, which she is a manager.
Please finish up.
Did get funds, did get a grant, but we were supposed to be in that part. And the county did get funds, but we got nothing. But it was our platform that they used. So we are saying, we need something, living wage, and we need it now. Thank you very much.
Mr. Webb?
Hello, my name is Milton Webb. I live at 1774 Mecklenburg Road. And as my friend Stanley was saying, there's a lot that's going on. We understand that y'all are doing what you have to do and got everything going out. And we really appreciate the things that you're doing to help us get this living wage. There are people who are barely making it, like you say, with the two and three jobs that they got. And we would like for this to be pushed a little faster, a little harder, or as soon as you can get it done, so everybody can get out and do what they need to do to pay their bills and have things for their children and make things better for themselves. And I thank y'all for letting us come and talk to you tonight, because we know it's not what you usually do. And I thank you very much.
All right, thank you both. All right. Let's see. Carol, now, Lee is waiting for the member file resolution. So if it's all right with folks, I think we'd like to do that. Everybody fine? Wait a second.
The movie is over.
Movie's over.
Like magic.
That was Kathy.
Is it supposed to be that noisy?
It's not that noisy if you're not listening.
Okay. Jim, Dennis, would you like to take...
I would, but I'm going to let Dave do it.
All right, Dave.
Okay. Resolution H, ID number 4337, in support of request to New York State for emergency disaster funding to mitigate damage due to rainstorms on August 8th and 9th, 2013. Tompkins County, including the City of Ithaca and the towns of Enfield, Dryden, Groton, Ithaca, Lansing, Ulysses, and the incorporated villages within.
Seconded by Jim. All right. Is there a discussion? Frank.
Yeah, I'd like to. It's rare that we have an incident or several incidents where we don't include every municipality that's had some damage in it. And there are three towns that are absent from the second resolve. I'm certainly aware of damage in Caroline. And I believe there was damage in Danby. Dave, I'm sorry, I'm not totally familiar with what may have happened in Newfield. I know Enfield and Groton were heavily hit. But I also know that the Caroline Town Board, with the guidance by their watershed committee, has applied for a piece of the $500,000 that the governor has put aside. And there are three projects that were listed in that list. So I'd like to offer, I hope it's considered friendly, that we amend the second resolve to include, and it's quite ironic, some of you will find this quite ironic, that the towns of Danby, Caroline, and Newfield, actually, let's do it this way. The towns of Danby, Newfield, and Caroline be added to that second resolve. And it's the part you may find amusing is that the initials are DNC.
Thank you.
All right. As far as I'm concerned,
late.
Yeah, I have a question. Joe, is there any reason having to do with the declaration that we made, or Lee? Lee, why don't you come?
When Karen crafted the resolution for us, we used the areas that where we'd had the initial reports of problems and responses that night. But if there should be a declaration, hopefully the county at large is in there. That's normally how they do it. And I don't see anything inappropriate about adding those three to make sure that they're covered.
Thank you.
Okay, Joe?
No, I think that's fine. I just note you need to change the title, too, to make sure that the title covers them all.
All right, so that's a motion to amend. Is that friendly to Jim and Dan, Dave?
Yes.
Okay. All right, then that's in there. Carol?
Well, I feel a little bit guilty. We talked about the damage, and I'm sorry that we didn't bring in facilities and infrastructure, and I'm sorry that we didn't bring the book that Jeff Smith brought to the committee showing the worst of the damage, because all of it, picture after picture after picture, most of it was in Enfield. And so this was originally talked about as a resolution that was going to really focus on Enfield as having the biggest need. And I feel guilty because I was the one who piped up and said, but I know there was some damage. I named some other locations.
Okay.
I named in particular the Black Diamond Trail that was finally we had heard about the completion, and they've had a major washout. So I asked, was there any way to include some of the others that, you know, had declared their damage in case we needed it? So if this is going to weaken the Enfield request, which, you know, of that $300,000, I think $360,000 of it, the estimate was in Enfield. So if it's going to weaken it, maybe we should.
It will. It'll be fine.
Okay. Ready to vote? Kathy Luce?
Well, thanks. I just want to say I'll support this. We're a county that pulls together in hard times. Just the question that I have about this has to do with whereas is and resolved. I was under the impression that there was some funding available for this somewhere, but it also says that the legislature hereby supports a request by its highway division to seek funding, and then it talks about how the legislature hereby supports the allocation of state resources. So can somebody just talk to me briefly, even though this is for the amendment, I think it covers the whole thing. Any streams that we're thinking about or that have been earmarked for possible funding for this?
Swimming area at Treeman?
Well, with respect to the, there's reference in here to the state using its resources to take care of its own places as well. And there we tried to include what Carol talked about in terms of trails, parks, and so forth. Treeman got clobbered. So we want them to spend their resources there, but also bring their resources to this. And Lee can talk about potential sources of that money.
Typically, what has happened in the past is that there's been a much broader area of damage. And in New York, I'll try to keep this as short as I can. When there's been a federal declaration where dollars are involved, there's usually a 75% reimbursement that comes with it from the federal government. And if the state follows suit, they're 12.5%, and the local government's 12.5%, and sometimes that 12.5% local share can be offset with in-kind or expenses that have already been made by the local governments. There's not enough damage on a regional or statewide basis for a federal declaration or for the state to ask for that, which the normal threshold is about $26 million. That said, we know that in Tompkins, Cortland, Tioga, and maybe some of the other adjacent counties, collectively they've suffered probably several million dollars worth of damage, $2, $3, $4 million. We're asking the state to make a state declaration, at least to look at it from a standpoint of providing some resources back to assist the municipalities. And in particular, if you're looking at the town of Enfield, who's estimating anywhere from $150,000 on up, that's probably all of their materials and equipment costs for the highway department for 1 year. I think their total highway budget might be $300,000, including labor. So that's, we're seeking the state to consider a declaration and possibly come forward with some shared expense there. And we are acknowledging as well that the state itself has suffered significant damages to its highways, park systems, and some of the facilities that are out there. There's a question in our minds right now about some of these gorge areas and waterways and streams as to what jurisdiction is there, and it may be shared jurisdiction in some cases, but by not moving forward with some repairs to that, all of our facilities are threatened.
All right, I don't think this is going to be controversial. I'm
still interested in where's the money coming from.
Right.
Immediately, is it coming from the highway budget? Is it coming from Tompkins?
I see.
Yeah.
In terms of responding to the damage that exists right now, the highway department.
In terms of this $500,000.
Okay. Right now, the highway department, the highway division, is fixing up areas of our roads that have been damaged. So the road shoulders, we're spending $130,000 to improve those shoulders. So $260,000 will be coming out of our highway division. Our hope is that that will be reimbursed by the state with state funds. The state is indicating right now that they're not really inclined to make that kind of a reimbursement. So we're at a perfect moment where we're getting a signal from the technocrats. They probably won't have the money available. It's time now to turn up the burners on the state a bit through actions like this to ask them again to provide some help.
You're talking my language.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Julie.
I want to give Jim a chance to throw up his hands at me and by pointing out that there is one part of this resolution which is really very well written, but in the third whereas, the word total appears twice. Let's get rid of the first one.
Well, you have to ask Dave because he moved the resolution.
Yeah. I moved it. I didn't write it.
Where the third whereas...
The third, whereas the third line has total twice, you could get rid of the first one. I make that motion. I make that suggestion, whatever.
Please don't.
You okay with that, Dave?
That's friendly.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. Was it Mike and then Dave and then Leslin?
I just wanted to make a note that the $150,000 to $200,000 that they're spending is on the roads. It has nothing to do with the creeks. Okay, in the creeks of where the real damage is, in addition to the roads, the ones that I've seen are 2 to 3 times as wide as they normally are, and the creek is offset from its normal path by 3 to 4 feet.
Okay, it's 5 of 10. This is not going to be controversial. If we can please move on. Leslin?
Thank you, Lee and Joe. I had a clarifying question about the monies as well, and I think you might have answered. So the state has not made a declaration in this area is what you're saying. So we're not positive we're getting any money back from
That's
the
correct.
State.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right. I mean, this is cheerleading. This is great. This is trying to get a little bit more pressure. I think that's basically what happens. Okay? All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. All right, Mike.
May I ask that the clerks send copies of this to the clerks of all of the municipalities with a request that they disseminate it to their boards?
Thank you. Brian?
Maybe Lee would like to stick around long enough to, because we got to accept $2.8 million for him.
It's probably a good idea.
I don't remember it on consent, was it?
It was.
Yeah, you're right. That's done. Yeah,
never mind, we already got it. Forget it.
A was pulled off, right?
Yeah.
All right. I think we're ready to go back to committee reports. Carol Chuck has covered that. Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Broadband Committee did not meet in August. We'll meet again in September on the 23rd at 5:30 in the Four Corner Room. That's all.
Thank you, Pat. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis.
Thank you. I just want to do a short review of last year's budget meetings. And then, our next meeting is Monday at 4 o'clock.
Here, right?
Here, in this room.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you very much.
Question for Jim.
Frank?
Jim, is the MRT resolution is on that agenda?
Recording tax?
It is. The mortgage recording tax? Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Public Safety Committee, Brian Robinson, Chair.
Thank you. We met on the 12th. A couple of quick items. Stop DWI has agreed to purchase a dedicated Stop DWI vehicle for the Sheriff's Office for their Stop DWI patrols. A lot of time was taken up talking about this proposed renovation to the jail. And that's, I don't know, all the other stuff's not earth-shattering by any means. Anybody's got any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Otherwise, we, too, are going to meet right here on the second Monday of September.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Will?
Brian, what is a dedicated vehicle for Stop WDI? How would that be different than a normal vehicle?
Yeah. DWI vehicles have breath tests, I mean, stuff in them.
DWI stuff.
They have stuff. That's a terrible word. Equipment. How's that? They have everything you would ever need to affect a DWI arrest, minus the alcohol. They give different departments money as a matter of course. They are the receivers of all fine money associated with DWI prosecutions and pleas. So they get a good bit of money to make these sorts of purchases, whether it be a vehicle for the sheriff's office. A lot of times they buy Elka sensors or trainings or what have you for all the other departments. I mean, it's not just the sheriff's department. So.
Thank you.
Have I said enough?
You have.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Workforce yep. Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie Mooping, Claiborne Chair.
Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee will meet next week, Wednesday, at 3:30 in the Scalhaven Conference Room.
All right. Thank you very much. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair. And I have a request, Frank. If you could be real targeted in your report, but make sure you cover the mental health issues and the with the closures.
I will follow your prime example of being succinct.
Thank you. Thank you.
The committee met on the 13th. We had quite a long meeting. I won't go into all the details, but there were some key issues that you ought to hear about. The Collaborative Solutions Network through the, excuse me, the Racker Center, they're putting together a program that will deal with individuals, children that are having mental health issues. And it's long been a dream of Roger Sibley to pull a group together like this. And they are off and running. I won't give you all the details on it, except that we had quite a detailed presentation. And as the material becomes more public, I'd be happy to keep you abreast of it. Stay tuned. They are really working on it. I'm going to skip over the item Martha mentioned just briefly. We did have an update on the early intervention program because Frank Krupa was keeping us abreast of a change from how we were paying for providers in the past, and the state stepped in and took over the program and the reimbursement. And what happened was they got in over their head. As of last week, Frank said it has been reversed. We're trying to work with Joe on how the monies will now be dispersed to the providers of that program. There's a lot of detail. It certainly hasn't been worked out. There are 7 contract counties involved, and we're one of them. But it's created a little bit of consternation with the reimbursements for the providers. Some of them were.
Are they getting paid?
They were not.
We were.
They were getting paid. It was being delayed, and at best, if the county hadn't stepped in, some of them wouldn't have gotten paid at all. Joe, did you want to?
Yeah, just a bit of a follow-up. The state, since the county agreed to be the payer of first resort again, that's our traditional role. The state dropped the ball. They asked the counties to become again the payer of first resort for a little while. We were among 7 counties that agreed to do that. In response to the fact that most other counties didn't agree to it and the providers weren't getting paid, the state has very recently agreed to become the funder of first resort, to get the providers, I think, 75% of what they're owed, and then seek recoveries through the insurance companies and Medicaid. This will be a stopgap measure by the state until it finally gets its act together. So I believe the flow of funds, if it hasn't started to providers, it's imminent. We haven't been paid since some of them since April.
Yeah, they've been. You asked the question if they haven't been paid. Yes, the answer is yes. Thanks, Joe. Frank is going to keep us appraised of that. I'm sure we'll have another report on that. We did also have I'm sorry Lee left, but we had a presentation from the Central New York Medical Reserve Corps. It's a group that is based in Syracuse. We're part of the region that is sanctioned by the state to pre-qualify individuals in the medical profession so that there's a crew ready, if you will, to step in case of an emergency and a disaster declaration. They pre-credential nurses, doctors, veterinarians. There's a long list. And the only brochure I have is this one, which you will not be getting because it's the only copy I have. The woman that came and made the presentation, she is the lead agency contact. Her name is Bobby Alcock, A-L-C-O-C-K. Very interested in meeting with fire departments, because they tend, in some of our most rural communities, they tend to be the emergency group that is contacted.
Cutting out.
First. Say again?
You're cutting out.
Try raising up.
Raise it?
Yeah.
Jim, help me out.
Higher, Frank. Push it higher. Yeah.
At any rate, I'll give Kathy the website that she gave us, so that if any of you would like to follow up on it for your own community, you can. I won't go into the PERS system, although we did agree. Going back to what Martha asked, another setback from the state, and we heard about it through the through mental health. They're closing the psych centers, and they will be keeping the ones open, according to Susan Romanchek. They'll be keeping the ones open along the thruway corridor. The only problem is they'll be located only in major cities, Utica, Syracuse, I think Albany, and Buffalo. The Elmira Psych Center and the one in Binghamton are slated to close. It's creating a major stir for a lot of the providers and certainly a lot of the clients and patients. Some of the discussion that we had last week centered around why didn't they just close one as a test case and let's see how this works. We're very concerned because we tend to go towards Elmira and Broome because we have a lot of local agencies that utilize them. Sue did not have a lot of answers because a lot the information just hasn't been flowing. But this is going to have an effect, and it could be major, on our local system here. I'll try this one. I really will see that the committee keeps you abreast of. I want to thank Nathan for mentioning the health exchange item he did earlier this evening and Martha's help in getting the presentation together for this group, September 3rd, I think it is scheduled for. We're getting geared up for that. These are three reminders. Martha has asked that Frank Krupa, Pam and I take a step back and look at the wood smoke issue that some of you have been involved with and been copying on. We're going to be having a head session reviewing that. The 27th, just as a reminder, 2 o'clock at the Health Department in the Rice Conference Room is that committee meeting that Frank wanted to have. It's reviewing the material that was, you were asked to respond to a survey on prioritizing certain items regarding the health department. He wants to review that. We'll be meeting with members of the Board of Health that same day. And we flipped this meeting. This is the one that came up at the last board meeting, the last legislative meeting. We flipped it from 11 o'clock in the morning till 2 in the afternoon to accommodate members, certainly members of various committees, including GO. If you haven't responded, please do so, because we would like to get a head count. The next committee meeting is the 10th of September. And with that, if there aren't any questions, I appreciate you bearing with me. But we had a really serious time. We also had an update from Amy on the youth services. There's a major reconfiguration being discussed that will affect various towns, and we've been working with Joe on reviewing those changes and how they affect all of the youth development services that are going on. You'll be hearing more about that during the budget season, I'm sure.
And you have Resolution A.
Okay.
Was pulled off the agenda.
Resolution A, it's docket 4304, authorization for membership, New York State Association for Food Protection, Health Department. And I'll move it.
Second by Kathy Luce. Carol.
I don't know who pulled it off, Martha.
I pulled it off, and I did speak to Frank about it today. I just wanted to briefly, I will vote for it, but I just wanted to briefly say that point out as an example to our staff, the title of this association, New York State Association for Food Protection, reads like it protects us, the consumers, about food. The membership of the organization, when you look into it, is actually it's industry, it represents industry, and it reads more like a trade association. And the bylaws, when you look at them, talk about addressing regulation and enforcement of the food industry. So I was just concerned that, were we joining this for information about how to protect our residents as we eat food or for some other reason, and if we're going to be getting in, they also talk about education. So were we going to get all of our education about that
from this organization, or could we be balancing it with membership in other organizations, maybe the organic farmers? This is dairy. By the way, this is a manifest error. It's not dairy. It's dairy industry there, and other food industries, or Food and Water Watch. So, you know, just we should be aware, as our staff talks about joining these organizations, they're getting more and more creative with the title of these kinds of things, and we should know what it is we're joining. I assume that's why it comes to us, not because of the big bucks this represents.
I have $80 here. I'll pay for it myself.
The reason this is even on the agenda, we had a member of the staff retire that did the examinations of various restaurants and that part of the sanitary code. The new hire, the new individual, would like to join this organization in order to bring back information, as I understand it. We may not continue the membership here, but no one has been a member of this organization, and it will give us a chance to test the water and see what happens. It doesn't mean it's detrimental or a plus. We simply don't. We want an opportunity to evaluate the information.
All right. Are we ready to vote?
And for the public's information, this is an $80 bill.
Yeah, so we should debate it for two more hours, right?
It's an $80 bill.
I mean, that's...
$40.
It's $40. It's $40. We're just moving the money from one account to the other.
It's a $40 bill. Thank
Are
you.
We ready to
Did
vote?
You want to go to,
All in favor of Resolution A, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you. Was All that right. succinct enough?
No.
Close-ish. No. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
Can you give the same instruction to others?
Dooley? I'm sorry, Peter. Wait a second. Dooley?
I had a question. Frank, you reported that mental health people locally now seem concerned about the state's move to close facilities, but the publicity, the initial publicity, indicated that all the mental health professionals, including our local ones, supported this. Could you explain why that came out that way initially?
I cannot. The concern is that some of the clients were going to see more. I think the more they found out about this, the less supportive they
became. So they just weren't well informed initially.
Because okay. one of the concerns is that the individual clients might be, for lack of a better way to put it, put on the street. And that's really what's getting Susan a little bit concerned also.
There's some time to build advocacy on this. And,
yes.
And this is an introduction, but it's not going to take effect for a while, but we really need to, I think, hear more about it, and I hope pass a resolution. So. Right. Facilities and Infrastructure, Peter Stein. Thank you.
We had a meeting yesterday. Is it really only yesterday? I think so. We had a meeting yesterday. The highlight of the meeting was a discussion of Hanshaw Road and the current status of the construction and the concerns of the at least some residents along the road. There were some glitches in the beginning, but as near as I can tell, it seems to be proceeding like a ordinary construction road construction project always does. I mean, we should understand that when one rebuilds a road, there's always a problem because people's traffic patterns have to be changed to do that, and there's no way to avoid that. And I think that our staff has done about as well as can be expected in accommodating the concerns of the residents and making sure that it's a safe road to travel. It's on schedule, and I forget exactly when it will be finished, but it is on schedule at the moment, and there haven't been any major problems. Okay. That's really all I have to report.
Thank you, Peter. Any questions? All right. Thank you. Economic Development Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. So we did not have our normal long meeting this month. We had a short, quick meeting right before this meeting, which means anybody on that committee has had a very long day of it. So we talked tonight about the slightly revised budget for STPP, based on the fact that the revenue generated by the room tax in the first half of the year was slightly less than had been anticipated, and they had to adjust the budget down. We have presented the details of that to Joe, who will be incorporated into our budget. You have all the chance to see that when we come out with the main budget. Secondly, we made the one appointment to the a recommendation for appointment to the STPP, which we voted on consent tonight. But I mention that because there are a number of
excuse me, what was that appointment to what?
Strategic Tourism.
Oh, okay, thank you.
The Strategic Tourism Planning Board. And I mention that because a year or so ago, we changed the bylaws, basically, and created term limits. And there are a number of members of that board, longstanding members, who will be going off at the end of this year. There are, I think, at least four vacancies. And we are putting out an open call for members. We are, you know, the details of which can, I'm sure, be gotten from Marcia or from...
Tom Knight.
For Tom Knight. Thank you. Thank you. It's late. But at any rate, there will be an opening there. Our next meeting will be on September 5th, which is the Thursday, and I will consider moving it here, but I'll have to see what about availability and such. So, location to be announced, and that concludes my report, unless there are any questions.
Thank you, Will. Any questions? All right, very good. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane. I don't know if you don't really...
No additional report.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much. Your next meeting is... September 11th or 10th. Okay. All right. Government Operations Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
GO Committee will be meeting on August 27th at 10 o'clock. We had previously decided that we would plan to meet from until 12:30 because we expect a fairly lengthy agenda. One of the big items on our agenda will be a discussion item, being a report from Joe on the working group on the living wage. And my plan is to put that right up at the beginning of the meeting. We're expecting, based on the number of people that have expressed interest in this from the community, we're expecting quite a few people may want to attend this meeting. Just want to make very clear that this is not a voting meeting. This meeting is for discussion, for explanation, for the entire committee to get up to speed on what the working group has recommended. But because we are expecting that there may be quite a few people interested in attending, we are going to be meeting here, and we're planning on having committee members sit here at this table so that the space for the public will be more accessible to the work of the committee rather than sitting over there on the side table. That will also open up that space over there in case we have members of the public that would overflow and they could use that space also. So that's on August 27th at 10 o'clock.
Thank you. I think that'll work out well. Thanks, Pat.
CPR is on September 11th.
September 11th, CPR. Any questions for Pat? All right, thank you very much. Do I have a motion on the minutes of August 6th? Moved by Frank, seconded by Peter. Any comments, additions? All in favor of the minutes, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That passes with two opposed. I have a motion to adjourn. Moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you all.